The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they went to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite books ever is called Children's Letters to God. It's by Hampel and Marshall, and it's filled with the questions that children ask God. There's the one from Lucy who asks, "Are you really invisible, or is that just a trick?" The question from Jane, which is really a good one, Jane asks, "Instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you've got?" And then Norma asks God, "Did you mean the giraffe to look like that, or was that an accident?" Great, great questions. If you've hung around our preschool, you'll have noticed that young children ask, on average, 100 questions per day each. Any parent with a preschooler can confirm this. But does the questioning continue into adulthood? I love the story about Dr. Isidore Robbie, the inventor of the technology behind the MRI. Here's a man whose research depends on asking questions. Robbie claims the only reason he continued to ask the really difficult questions was that his mom asked him after school each day not what he had learned, but instead what questions he had asked. It wasn't how much he knew, but how curious he was. The unfortunate reality for most of us is that we ask less questions as we grow up. In our gospel from Mark today, Jesus told the disciples for the second time that he was going to die. He's explained it once already, but the disciples still don't understand. They don't get it. Did you notice, though, that even though the disciples don't understand, they're afraid to ask Jesus questions? Why don't the disciples ask Jesus questions? He's right there in front of them. He's the only one with the answers, the only one who knows what's happened and what's going to happen. Why aren't they pinning him down for an answer? Like many of you, or I suspect like many of you, I have an incredibly long list of questions that I'm planning on asking God when I die. Isn't it kind of odd, though, that I'm waiting until I die to ask God those questions? Why don't I ask God the questions now and struggle with them now? Jonathan Merritt, a classmate of mine in seminary, surveyed 1,000 people who regularly attend worship. 1 in 8 had not had a meaningful conversation about religion or spirituality outside of a place of worship in the last year. If we're not trying to understand God with each other, can we converse with God about God? How can I understand God? And how can I understand each of you if I don't ask questions? I suspect there's a lot of reasons that we don't ask questions about God. First, I don't really want to look stupid. As a kid, aren't we told there are no stupid questions? I'm sure I told my children that at least a few times. But what about that question I asked in confirmation when I was 12? It caused the teacher and the other students to laugh, not just behind my back, but out loud. Not with me, but at me. I still remember that question. Funny how I remember all the stupid questions I've asked in my life, and very few of the good ones. What if I was a little gentler on myself? What if we were a supportive community, open to questions and offering no judgment? Second, aren't I supposed to know everything about God? I'm an adult, for goodness sakes, and I've been at this church thing for quite a while now. But I don't understand everything. Should I? If I understood everything about God, then wouldn't God be too small? Wouldn't God then be defined by my limited understanding, my limited human understanding? Wouldn't I be putting God into my own box? I sometimes worry when people claim to know everything about God. When they have all the answers and never once question their understanding. Can we be okay with the mystery of God? Or do we have to know all the answers? Can we value curiosity over knowledge? Finally, maybe I'm supposed to leave everything to faith and not try to understand. Not ask questions. Just accept everything as God's will and leave it alone. Are we supposed to question God? We started our new study of Psalms this week in our Wednesday dinner and discussion. One of the things we'll see is that the Psalms question God over and over. Psalm 10, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Psalm 15, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? The psalmists question God. They ask God hard questions. Can we? I remember vividly the first pastor I had who encouraged questions, especially the hard questions. What I didn't realize then, but I do now, funny how God works that way, is that it was in my struggling with God, my wrestling with God like Jacob, my questioning God. It was then that my relationship with God deepened. It was not in finding an answer, but it was in the questioning when I really came to know God. Asking questions is what helps us know God and each other better. How can I understand you? How can I develop a deeper relationship with you? How can I see you as a child of God? I can ask you sincere questions. I can learn about what brings you joy and what brings you sorrow. I can ask why you believe in something or doubt something or stand up for something. Then I can really listen to what you say. I can better understand people who are very, very different from me too, through questions and conversation. Several years ago, Alan and I were invited by a work colleague to a festival at a mosque. This was a mosque in Atlanta which holds a blood drive on every anniversary of 9/11. It was a festival, and so we assumed the festival would have outdoor games, music, hot dogs, jumpy things, kids running around having a great time. Instead, we were welcomed very warmly into the mosque and shown one room after another of people gathered, all of whom were studying. One room even had a game show about the Muslim faith, sort of like what we did on Wednesday night with our Psalms game. During lunch, we were seated at the head table with the leaders of the mosque. They were so excited to welcome us into their home and into their community. We knew very little about the Muslim faith, and they knew very little about being a Christian. But there was no hesitancy in our curiosity. There was no shame on either side in the questions that were asked. There was only a deep desire to learn about each other and to begin to develop a relationship. It was an incredible experience. What are we missing by not being more curious about others, both in our own circles, but especially with those who are different than us? What am I missing in my relationship with God when my conversations and questions about God don't leave this building? I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different today. Will the ushers help me? They're going to pass out to each of you a list of questions. And I'm going to ask you to amuse me. And don't leave these in the recycle bin on your way out of worship today. These are questions which will hopefully get you to begin thinking and to begin having relationships with people that are perhaps at a deeper level. I want you to start easy with the people that you know. Pick a question and talk about it on the way home in the car or at lunch today. Put the list on your kitchen table, on your dining room table. And when the conversation goes dry, pick a question. If your table is a table of one, call a friend or let me know. And I would love to form a question group here. And then what I want you to do, and this gets a little bit harder, is I want you to find someone who's different than you. I want you to be curious. Practice being open to the questioning and be open to the listening. Be curious about each other. Be curious about God. God will be present in the conversation. And your relationship will deepen. Amen.